We're holding on Peches Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on this topic of Zok and Mamre, the Mishnah says, Chomer b'divrei Sofrim mi'b'divrei Torah. There's a chumrah regarding something that the Sofrim, meaning that the Chachamim, taught us with a drasha, with one of the Yud Gimel Midos, more than Divrei Torah, more than something that says straight out in the Torah. Namely, Ha'omer ein tefillin. If this would be Zok and Mamre says that Bechalal there's no tefillin, k'dei lavra al divrei Torah, which therefore would be he'd be over on what it says in the Torah. Potter, then he's not. Then he's potter from Misa, even if you have all the other criteria that we said that that he argues with the Beis Din HaGadol and all the other criteria that we said so far. But this kind of thing is not considered hoira. It has to be the Torah is saying that you have to have al pi haTorah asher yerucha. There has to be a Torah. It has to be something that it says in the Torah and yerucha. And the Chachamim are teaching you the details about it. But here, when he says it like this, tefillin is written clearly enough in the Torah. Now, it's not at the beginning of the Masechta, we had an expression, Dover Shatzdukim Moidim Boy, that you have something that's so obvious in the Torah that even the Tzdukim would have to admit to it. And the Gemara calls it Zil Kori Beirav. It's the kind of thing that you could just go and learn it in Cheder and you'd know. Now, tefillin is not really in that category, even though it says, and all the various other places. It doesn't say tefillin in so many words, and it actually, the Tzdukim didn't necessarily hold of the concept of tefillin. But so here we're using it, though it's still in the sense that the fact is it's clear enough in the Torah, but we don't have details. In particular, the Torah doesn't spell out how many parshiyos there are to be in tefillin. It does say you have to take something, you have to take these words and put them on your arm and head, but it doesn't really say how much, it doesn't really say how many parshiyos. So therefore, if he claims that there's five, if he claims that there's no tefillin at all, then he's not a Zok and Mamre. But Chomish Teitofos, but if he claims that there were supposed to be five parashiyos in the tefillin, so that could lahosif al divrei sofrim, where then he's adding to what we darshin that there were in various ways. The Gemara had brought various drushes. We have Rabbi Akiva's Tapakasbishtaim, Pasbafrikishtaim. We have other drushes that the Gemara had brought over there that there are four from the various spellings of what Teitofos. Anyway, Chayev, then he would be Chayev as a Zok and Mamre because that kind of thing we need Torah Shebaal Peh in order to clarify for us. So the Gemara says, Omer of Elazar, Omer of Oshia. In other words, if he disagrees, if he holds that there are five and the rest of the Sanhedrin Gdolah says four, or conceivably vice versa, then yes, he would be considered a Zok and Mamre.
But isn't he by default saying when there is no tefillin, there is no chomish teitofos?
No, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, he's being oikur the mitzvah entirely. And you have a similar kind of distinction in other areas of halacha as well. As far as the parhelim davar shel tzibur, you have a similar distinction. If they say altogether that a certain mitzvah doesn't apply or a certain detail of a mitzvah, which is very obvious from the psukim, doesn't apply. Then also we say zil kori beiravu. This is something you could learn in cheder. That's not considered a hira. For it to be yerucha al pi haTorah asher yerucha, that implies that there's something that is actually that they're actually teaching you that you wouldn't have otherwise known. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia. In order, he won't be chayev as a zok and mamre. Ella al davar sheikra midivrei Torah. Only something where the fundamental thing of it is from divrei Torah or perushim midivrei sofrim, and the explanation of it is midivrei sofrim. We have to realize, by the way, divrei sofrim sometimes we use to mean dinim derabanan. But here and some other places, we use divrei sofrim to mean anything that the sofrim that the chachamim taught us as part of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a similar kind of thing, for example, that Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus says that that Kiddushei Bia is Minat Torah, and the other kinds of Kiddushin, in particular Kesef, is Midivrei Sofrim. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that Kiddushei Kesef is only Dirabanan? That's the kind of Kiddushin we do nowadays, in particular. It's certainly not only Dirabanan. So one major explanation is that what the Rambam means by that is Midivrei Sofrim, in the sense that we mean over here, as in other words, it is something we learn with one of the Yud Gimel Midos, and once we do, it's every much Daraisa as anything else. However, we wouldn't have known it without the Yud Gimel Midos. Okay, so the Ikra has to be Medivre Torah, has to be something that actually says clearly in the Torah. The Pirush has to be Medivre Sefrim. The Yesh by Lahoisif, It is possible to add something to it which you're not supposed to. V'im. However, when he does that, then he's removing, you have the famous expression, kol ha'mosif. But in other words, the point is that because of that, he makes it possible by making that addition. V'ein lonu elot tefillin al libid Rabbi Yehuda. Now, says Rabbi Elazar finishes off, that it comes out, we can only find, the only example of that would be tefillin according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we learned previously on Daf Pei Zayin, Reb Meir had held that for him to be a Zaken Mamre, he has to be arguing with the other Chachamim of his times on something which involves Kores, B'mezid, and a Chatos B'skila. Reb Yehuda had said any time that they're arguing on something which is midivrei Torah or called davar sheikra midivrei Torah or pirusha midivrei sofrim. So now Rabbi Elazar is telling us, according to Reb Yehuda, the only example we can find of that is tefillin. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean Rabbi Yehuda holds he can be a zaken mamre only as regards to tefillin? Tosfos says yes. Tosfos discusses over here that that's exact according to Rabbi Elazar, that's exactly what it means. Rabbi Yehuda and now Rabbi Elazar doesn't care about all those drushes that we said before. That we spent a daf and a half discussing a brisa that went through the psukim ki polim and chodav la mishpat ben dom the dom ben din the din, etc. Rabbi Yehuda is not choshish for those and holds that only tefillin, basically it would be anything that would fit these criteria that we're saying. However, it comes out, as the Gemara is going to work out, that the only mitzvah that actually fits these criteria is tefillin. On the other hand, the Rambam understands it to mean that no, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar over here are not disagreeing with Rabbi Meir and with all those drushes. They're just saying there's an additional thing. So the Rambam phrases it: anything which is kores uchatos, like we've been learning all along, plus tefillin. Anything that's not in those categories, meaning, for example, that Rambam goes on to explain in great detail. So he goes through all the kinds of examples that we went through in the last couple of dafim, explaining how it could be that a mitzvah that in and of itself doesn't involve kores or achatas ends up resulting in one because it leads to something which leads to something else, which eventually which leads to kores and chatas, plus tefillin, even though it doesn't lead to any of those things. However, then anything else, he says, for example, tzitzis, shofar, or whatever, then he wouldn't be a zaken mamre. So according to him, the Gemara is not saying that it means this is the only kind of thing he'll be a zaken mamre. It means the only thing that fits those criteria, plus you have all the other ones that we said before. So separately, in other words, you have basically there's mitzvahs loises there, where there has to be kores and chatas involved, and then among mitzvahs asay, the only one will be tefillin.
And he has to say something.
He has to say something. That's what we're saying. So that doesn't matter whether he's moisif or gereya. Doesn't matter whether he's moisif or gereya. The point is that nevertheless, that's enough to make him a zaken mamre. Yeah.
If it says there is no such, no.
If there's no such mitzvah, then it doesn't work. Yeah. So the Gemara says, why only tefillin? What about lulav? The basic concept of taking lulav, it says clearly in the Torah, the explanation of it is midivrei sofrim, because you have to know which minim belong in the lulav. The Torah says them, but we have to understand what some of them mean. Creates hodr, for example, we have Torah Shabbat Peh tells us means the estrog, and also more to the point, also Torah Shabbat Peh tells us how many of each one you have to have. So it's possible to add either by adding a different min or by adding more of some of the minim. And if he adds, then he's subtracted because he's parceling it. So why don't we say then that lulav is also in that category? And if he argues with the other chachamim on the details of lulav, then he'd be a zaken mamre. Right? The answer is no, it wouldn't work because my svidalon, because what are we actually holding when we're asking this question? Now, there's machlokas in Masechta Sukkah as far as the dalad minim. Do we have to bind them together or not? Lamaisa, of course we do. We bind the lulav hadassim and aravas together. But do you need to do that in order to be yotze the mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, the chachamim say no. Well, applying that to our Gemara over here, is sviralon the lulav ein sarich eger. If you hold that the lulav does not need to be bound together, that your yotze even if the minim are not bound together, and that's by the way the halacha. The halacha is even if you pick them up separately, you pick up the lulav and you wave it, and then you don't even need to wave it to be yotze the mitzvah. And then you pick up the hadassim separately and the rovah separately, etc. You're still yotze the mitzvah. So then, then each one stands by itself. You can't say, in other words, that you added a fifth min, therefore you're passeling all the other ones, because you're not. Each one stands by itself, and they're unbound. And the same thing if you added extra lulavim or extra estrogim or whatever. If you're going to say that the lulav does require eger, does require to be bound, garu of oimen hu. Then when you take a bundle that has the fifth min in it, or that has extra ones of the other four minim in it, it's already garua. It's already been passled by the fact as soon as you put it together with the other ones. Then before even you picked it up, already it's passled. So you can't say v'im hosif gora. You can't say that you know something. You're adding something, and therefore you're taking away, and therefore you're passing it, because you're not really. It's already possible from before. We have to find something. When Rashi explains, when we said v'im hosif gora, when we talked about tefillin, what we mean is, in other words, given that now you have like this. Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation Rashi says is when it comes to the parashiyos of the shel yad. Now you have four parshiyos in the shel yad, but they're all in one compartment. Do you need to actually, suppose you wrote them on four separate pieces of parchment? Do you have to stick those pieces together for the tefillin shel yad to be valid or not? So Rashi brings that Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to. So Rashi says, when we said Val Libra de Rabbi Yehuda over here, I'd said before Val Libra de Rabbi Yehuda would mean according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said before that only when you have a mitzvah medivre toto, pirusha medivre sefim, then he's a zok and mamre. So that's Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers. The first explanation, though, Rashi brings is, as far as tefillin, Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Gemara in Menachos that if you wrote the parashiyos of the shel yad on different pieces of parchment, you don't have to stick them together. It's fine that they're loose there inside the compartment. So now, conceivably, then you can have where you add a fifth one there and it's called a mosif gereya. However, Rashi says here we're talking about tato, which means shel rosh, and there you're talking about the shel yad. And then the Gemara is going to go on to mention over here four different batim. So it's clear that all Gemara is talking about is talking about the shel rosh. So rather, therefore, what we mean is therefore Rashi doesn't like that explanation, and therefore he prefers the first explanation, which was what we were saying before, that a libid Rabbi Yehuda over here means according to Rabbi Yehuda, who disagreed with Rabbi Meir on Daf Pei Zayin and held that you own that the case where he becomes a Zaken Mamre is Ikri Medivre Torah or Pirosh Medivre Sofim. Either again, like Tosfos, that means that he completely disagrees with Rabbi Meir and says other cases he would not be a Zaken Mamre and only in this one case, or according to the Rambam and some other showing him, it means that there are two possible causes of him being a Zaken Mamre, one involving Loises, says, where it's Kores and Chatas, and the other one involving Esses, in which there's only Tefillin. Incidentally, the Rishonim asks, what is it? If Tosfos is saying he doesn't care about all those Drushas, fine, Drushas is all fine, but the Psukim are still there. What did he do with the Psukim? Ben Dom the Dom, Ben Din the Din, etc. And so they explain, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Rabbi Lazar, according to Tosfos' understanding, would be saying that that's telling you when you should go to the Beis Din HaGadol. Anytime you have a question in one of those areas of Torah, then go to the Sanhedrin Gdola. But as far as Zaken Mamre, not necessarily are those Psukim telling us the parameters of Zaken Mamre, like the way Rav Meir said. Anyway, the point is, so by lulav, it wouldn't work one way or the other. Either we would say that the lulav is possible to begin with when you put in a fifth min or an extra one of the other minim, or you would say that lulav ain't sarach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Chachamim, lulav ain't sarach eger, and therefore it doesn't passel it anyway. As far as that, by the way, I mean, so you, we know you're allowed, we know you can't put in a fifth min, of course, as far as extra ones, the Rambam Paskins, and this is how we do Adei Yemazes, you can add extra Hadassim, but you can't add extra of any of the other ones. The Raivad actually disagrees with the Rambam on that and say you can't put an extra Hadassim either. But anyway, the halacha is in general accepted like the Rambam, and therefore we see that the widespread meaning is to put in many more Hadassim. The Gemara says, "Va'ikat tzitzis." What about here is an example of tzitzis? Va'ikat tzitzis, the ikra medivre Torah. Again, the concept of tzitzis, it says in Psukim, or pirusha medivre Torah. From the explanation of how to make tzitzis is midrabanan, the fact that you need four strings that we learn from a limud from the pasuk dilim. If it's possible to add, because a person could add a fifth thread, v'im hosif gereya, and if he adds, then he's taking away because he's passing the tzitzis. The Gemara says not necessarily. Again, tzitzis my svidolon, because you have to ask, as far as the din of tzitzis, what exactly are we holding? Is svidolon de keshra elyon lav daraisa. Now you have like this: when you tie tzitzis on the beged, then you take the four strings, you double them over, you make eight, and then you make a knot near the beged. The velt has that they have one hole in the corner, and we have the same thing by our talesim, and therefore you make it by the edge of the garment, and then by we have the minhag by the talus cotton, and we have two holes, and the kesher is right there by the baguette. Anyway, the point is, if you hold that that kesher is lav d'oraisa, that it's not required minatoda, that minatoda you only have to you have to wind. It's enough in midoraisa, in other words, according to that, to just put them on the corner of the beged and not actually tie them. Well, if you hold that, then hai l'cho d'koy v'hai l'cho d'koy. Then again, all of the, each of the strings is standing by itself. The fact that you have extra strings over there doesn't passel anything. Now, where do we find such a machlokas? So Rashi explains that this is Rashi explains at this point that you need a kesher over there is not daraisa, rather it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Now, if it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, they can't be arguing about it. We talked about that yesterday. So therefore, the Binyan Shloima has explains that really what Rashi meant to say is the lav halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It's not halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So, because in fact, the Gemara in Menachos over there discusses that point, and then and does bring that that and it's, if it was again if it was halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, nobody could argue about it. But Rashi is saying that it means that there's machloikas on that topic. Now Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara discusses that point over there, but it doesn't reject it. It does end up saying that this Kesher Elyon is Daraisa. So what do you mean isvirolon if we hold? So what it would mean is, in other words, that so what it would mean is that if that Rav, so the Gemara proves over there that Rava proves over there the Kesher Elyon is Daraisa. So the Gemara is saying, even if we were to say according to the Hava I mean, in the Gemara that it's not Daraisa, then nevertheless nevertheless then he couldn't be a Zok and Mamre because of it, because again Hai l'chodikoi v'hai l'chodikoi, each string stands on its own and they're not tied together b'chol. The East Vidal and the Kesher Elyon Daraisa, and if we hold that the top knot over there is Daraisa, as Rava proves over there, and as is in fact the Halacha, Rava proves it over there, by the way, from the fact that the Torah has to tell us, has to imply that you're allowed to have tzitzis that are kilayim. Now, if the strings weren't tied to the beged, then there wouldn't be any possibility of kilayim anyhow. Because they're so therefore it has to be that they have to be tied. Well then again, Goruah v'Oimid, then again you're talking about where it's already. It's Goruah v'Oimid. It's already posel from beforehand, because then as soon as you tie five strings into it, then it becomes posel. So therefore, so again, so it wouldn't work. So it wouldn't work to say that tzitzis is an example of kol ha-mosif gereya, that if he's adding to something because they're already tied together from before, and you can't really add something into the into the thing. By the way, in this whole matter, by the way, we're not saying there's a big machlokas rishonim. Does that mean that in these cases, if we say that it's that hai l'cho d'koy v'hai l'cho d'koy, does that mean that we'll be saying he's not even over on the issur of Baal Tosif, or would we say he's over on the issur of Baal Tosif, or it doesn't pass all the mitzvah? So here, in other words, like this, if he added a fifth string to tzitzis, or he. Or if he added a fifth min to the lulav, if we say lulav tzarech eged, is he over on? We could say he's over on Baal Tosif, but nevertheless, the mitzvah is not possible as a result of it. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hachi tefillin nami?" Well, then ask the same thing by tefillin as well. E ovid arba bati. If he makes four batim, and then he brings a fifth bias and puts it next to it. What's the problem? The fifth one is not attached to the other four. So it wouldn't pass all the four. It wouldn't pass all the four that are already there. And if to begin with he made a tefillin with five batim, Goruah v'Oimid, who then again it's Goruah v'Oimid from begin from to begin with. It's possible to begin with. So again, why is tefillin any different than any other mitzvah saseh? And the answer is because we're talking about that to begin with, he started with a tefillin that had four, but then he added another fifth. Now, you're going to say, Hai l'chodikoi v'hai l'chodikoi. No, Ha'omer Abzeira, bayis chitzin she'ena royes ha'aver, any of the outer sides, any of the outer bottom of the tefillin, the ones that have the shins on them, that don't see the air, that in other words are not exposed to the air, posel, are going to be posel. So therefore, now, if you added a fifth bayis next to one of them, then it's going to actually make the tefillin posel. Because now you've prevented the what's supposed to be the outer one from seeing the aver, so that's what we have to be talking about. So that's why by tefillin, it's possible to have tefillin that were originally kosher, but then you add the fifth one and you make it possible, unlike we said by lulav and tzitzis, where it's not possible to do that. So again, the result is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, that as Rabbi Elazar says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, tefillin would be a case where he says zaken mamre. And again, you have the machlokas, what that means, whether he means, whether the machlokas who showing him, whether Rabbi Yehuda means, whether Rabbi Elazar means by that, that that's the only case where Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's possible. Versus every other, not possible, where Rabbi Yehuda would say that he's a Zaken Mamre, versus all the other cases Rabbi Meir talked about before, that would not, or does it mean that, or does it mean that that this is the only essay that it would have applied to, plus the loisa says that we said before? Okay. The Mishnah continues, we do not execute him in the Beis Din in his city, the Zaken Mamre, the Beis Din should be Yavne, or not even in the Beis Din in Yavne. Now that would mean, how do you do in Yavne? The point is, Rashi explains, let's say, so we said before, they have to ask the Beis Din in the Lushkas HaGozis. Now suppose that, so they told, back in the day, in the Lushkas HaGozis, they said what the halacha is. Now, he went back home, and many, many years passed, long, the Sanhedrin has long since left the Lushkas HaGozis, and moved to Chanus, and moved to one place to another, that the Gemara talks about in Rosh Hashanah, and eventually the Sanhedrin was in Yavne. And then, all those years later, he was paskening again, like his original opinion, which now turns out, then, that he's a Zaken Mamre. Nevertheless, even though the same Sanhedrin Gdolah that was there in the Beis Hamikdash is there in Yavne, but they're not gathered in Yavne, and they're not. It's not Hamokam Asher Yivchan Hashem. Therefore, they can't execute him over there. So Ella Malanoi, so the Beis Din HaGadol should be Yerushalayim. So rather they would bring him up to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Now, of course, if they already left for Yavne, how are they returning to Yerushalayim? It's on the face of it, it's after the Churban. The Tosfos Yom Tov actually brings that maybe what it means is even maybe they went to Yavne not long before the Churban, not exactly right after the Churban. Maybe they went there shortly before, and conceivably, occasionally, they could return to the Lushkas HaGozis. Tosfos points out earlier in the Masechta that once in a great while they would do that. Anyway, so they would bring him to the Beis Din HaGadol Shavir Shalayim, or Meshamrin Oisei Ad HaRegel, they would guard him until the next upcoming Yom Tov, or Memisin Oisei HaRegel, and they would execute him during the Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov itself, the same way as you can't execute somebody on Shabbos, you can't on Yom Tov, means during Chol HaMoed. Shenema, because the pasuk says v'chol am yishmu v'yiro v'lo yizidun oy. The pasuk says all the people should hear and they should be afraid and not act deliberately like this anymore. So therefore, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says you have to do it beregel when everybody is there for aliyah l'regel, and that way it'll have the greatest possible publicity that nobody should ever do such a thing again. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain ma'anis din shozeh. We can't delay the person's din. Here we have he was convicted months earlier. How can we keep him all the way until the following Yom Tov? Wouldn't that be inu yadin? Elam misin oisim yad. Rather, they execute him immediately in whatever city he was in. The koisim v'shochan v'chol makim, and they send messengers and they write letters to send it all over. Ish plain ischayv misin be'beis din. That plain. Sorry, I skipped the line. Rather, we execute him immediately. And we send letters and we send messengers to all places saying, this person was chayav misa be'beis din because he was a zaken mamre. And that way, Rabbi Yehuda says, we get enough publicity that way. Okay, there are a couple of interesting points in this that, first of all, by the way, Tosfos points out, as far as this matter of Loiba based in Shabi Yavne, that we're talking about that what happened was that Nigmo Dinoi before the Sanhedrin went into Golos, and now, years later, they never ended up executing at the time, for whatever reason, and since then the Sanhedrin has gone to Yavne. Nevertheless, we still, even though he was even there ready, you could have argued Gmar Din, but nevertheless, no, it's a Xeris HaKosov that has to be done by the based in HaGadol. Now, this point over here that was saying that you need to, that you can't delay it, so what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? So one interesting answer, I think from the Chassidei David, says that because, after all, since according to Rabbi Akiva, that he has to be executed in the Beis Din HaGadol, meanwhile, the trial doesn't necessarily have to be in the Beis Din HaGadol. So therefore, the local Beis Din that tried him, they're not the ones who are carrying out the sentence. So Inui Adin is not in their hands anymore. So now, as far as the Beis Din HaGadol, they're not the ones who tried him. So therefore, there's no problem of Inui Adin. There's no problem of waiting until the following Yom Tov. If it was the same Beis Din that convicted him and now is waiting until Yom Tov to execute him, then yeah, you would have a problem. But like this, it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mimisi Noisa Loiba Based in Shiba Iroi. We don't execute him in the Based in his city, Loiba Based in Shiba Yavna, nor in the Based in Yavna. Ela Mala Noisa the Based in Agoda Shiba Yerushalayim. We bring him up to the great Based in Yerushalayim, or Meshamarin Noisa Ad Regel, and we guard him until the next Yomtiv, and Mimisi Noisa Beregel, and we execute him during the Yomtiv, meaning during Chalamoyed, Shenem of Cholam Yishmo Viro, Divir Abakiva. So far, that's exactly what we said in the Mishnah. But now the Gemara continues, whether the Braisa continues, expanding a bit on the Mishnah. Omalai Rabbi Yehuda, v'chinema yiru v'yiro. The Pasuk doesn't say that they have to see it and fear. V'aloi l'nema ela yishmu v'yiro, which just says they have to hear about it and fear. So it's not like they have to be present there when it happens. If it was yiru v'yiro, then yeah, they'd have to all be present to watch him getting misa. But no. Ella, so given that, Loma Ma'anin Dina Shozev, why would we delay the guy's, why would we delay this Zaken Mamre's execution unnecessarily? Ella Mamisinoisim Yad, so rather they execute him right away, no matter what time of year it is, Vakosin Shochan Mahomachim, and they send out letters, and they send them out, they write letters, and they send them out to all places, Ish Planin is Chayav Misa Babestin, that is Chayav Misa, and that way we're Makayim Vakosin Yushmo Viro. So the Gemara continues. There are four cases where a person is executed by Beis Din, and you need to announce that they were executed, because in each of them, the Torah says that people should pay attention and know not to do it again. Hamesis, somebody who tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, or Ben Sora Ramora, V'Zaken Mamre, V'Edim Zomin. By each of those ones, the Pasuk says a Loshen that everybody should know about it. Now, by three out of the four of them, it uses the expression v'chol ha'om yishmu v'yiro, or v'chol yisrael yishmu v'yiro. So it implies the whole Jewish people. But by Edim Zomin, instead, the expression in the pasuk is vanish orim, the leftovers. I mean, so why doesn't it say the whole people? The reason is because not everybody is capable of being an aid, because after all, there can be people who are gazlonin and malvi beribis and whatever, who are apostle aiders. So therefore, you can't say v'chol ha'am yishmu v'yiro, that all the people or v'chol Yisrael should hear and not do this kind of thing again, because not all the people in the first place could have been Edim and potentially become Edim Zomimim. A number of interesting things in this actually is, first of all, an interesting explanation from Rebbe Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, about the deeper idea, the Kabbalistic idea behind why these four need Hachroza specifically. So he explains, Api Kabbalah, Hachroza has to do with Abba Ve'ima. He brings from a Sefer Ma'ur and Kabbalah. And then he explains each one of these four has tampered with Abba Ve'ima in some way. The Edim Zomin, for example, he explains that the concept of Edus is related to Abba Ve'ima. So they're tampering with the whole concept of Eidos. They're claiming they saw something that they weren't actually even there to witness. The Mesis is trying to tamper with the first two mitzvahs, Anoichi and Lo Yilecha, which is also like Abba Ve'ima. The Zaken Mamre goes and explains how each one of them is tampering somehow with Chochmah and Bina, with Abba Ve'ima, and therefore each of them needs Hachroza. On the Nigla level, an interesting point is that in the Mishnah, we find Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda arguing only about the Zaken Mamre. What about the other three? Why by the other three don't we have the same machlokas? So in fact, the Tesefta does bring that they have the same machlokas about all four of them, about the Edim Zomin and the Ben Sora Ramoda and the Mesis as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda. They would also have to send letters all over, and according to Rabbi Akiva, they would have to wait and bring him to the Beis Din HaGadol and execute him on the regel. The fact that in our Mishnah it doesn't say that, there's a number of interesting points that various Achronim talk about why indeed, according to our Mishnah, you don't have that distinction. Among them are the Maharal brings a point that after all, what it is in each case, we don't find any place explicitly that a Mesis or a Ben Sora Ramoda or Edim Zemin have to be judged and based in Agadol. That being the case, then, when they're doing it in their local city, fine, their local based in has jurisdiction over the area where they're the based in of. So they just have to inform people locally that this person was executed as a Ben Sora Ramoda or a Mesis or what have you, as opposed to by Zaken Mamre, given that the jurisdiction over it has to be in the based in Agadol, then therefore they are they're the ones who he rebelled against. They're the ones who have to judge him. And their jurisdiction is over the whole Jewish people. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying that they have to do it at a time when most of the Jewish people are going to be there for Aliyah L'Regel. And Rabbi Huda is saying they have to send messengers to the entire rest of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to when it was a local based in, then they, to begin with, they don't have jurisdiction over the whole Eretz Yisrael. That was the Maharal's point. And then there's various other points based on nuances in the psukim, based on the fact that yeah, by the Edom Zomimin, it said by the Ben Sora Murder, it says v'chol ha'om yishmu v'yiro, as opposed to by the other ones it says v'chol Yisrael. So Yisrael could mean the chosh of a people that have to know about it. So fine, based it informs them. You should know somebody was executed, but they don't have to necessarily send letters or have the whole am being present, as opposed to by the Zaken Mamre, it says that, and the reason would be so that everybody sees how that you have to listen to the based in Agadol no matter what. So there's a lot of different explanations about different nuances over there of why it is that by the other ones you wouldn't have this machlokas, at least according to the Mishnah, and only by Zaken Mamre do you. Okay, onward. So this is also that we're saying that not everybody is roy to be an aide. I mean, not everybody's roy to be a dayan either. But for example, when it comes to not everybody is capable.
A very learned person, but you're still not your core is rotten.
Right, but the point is, in other words, it's important by the Zaken Mamre that everybody should know that he was punished, so everybody realize you can't tamper with Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore we don't really care about the fact that not everybody is capable of being a Dayan and being a Muflush of Beis Din. It's still a lesson that everybody can learn. Mashenken Edim Zomimin, many people, or as Rashi said, Gazlonim and whatever, are not going to ever be Edim in the first place, and the same thing as far as Ben Sora Remoda, let's say. Ben Sora, not many people are capable of being Ben Sora Remoda. But the Ran explains, in other words, that it's not so much to tell a potential Ben Sora Remoda not to do that. Other parents should see what happens when a kid goes like that, and that motivates them to put more effort into the chinuch of their children. And the same way with the Zaken Mamre, it tells people more seriously to not tamper with Torah Shebaal Peh and realize that even the greatest chacham is not going to get away with it. As opposed to Edim Zomimin is a specific thing. It only applies to a person has to have come as an aide to Beis Din. So therefore we're not going to bother we don't necessarily have to inform again we need hachraza, but the point is by Edim Zomimin the pasuk says vahanish orim, because not everybody is going to need to take that to heart, because most people are not going to be in a situation, not many, most people, many people are not going to be in the situation of being Edim Zomimin in the first place. Okay. Now we come to the last one that we had in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. The last cases of people who are chayiv chenek are a Novi Sheker. So now we're going to talk about that. Novi Sheker, what is the definition of a Novi Sheker? Who's chayiv chenek. Hamisnabe mashal eshoma. First of all, when he says in Nevuah that he didn't actually hear from Hashem, and we're going to see in the Gemara, how do we know that he didn't hear it from Hashem? Umashal nemar loy, or also a Nevuah that wasn't said to him, meaning even if it was said to a different Navi, but not to him, as we'll see in the Gemara. Misosi bidei Adam, those are the cases where he's chayiv, misa bidei Adam, he's chayiv chenek. But when you have a Navi who conceals his Nevuah, Hashem told him a Nevuah to tell people and he doesn't tell it over. Or if he violates the words of the Navi told him to do something and he ignores it. The Navi sha'over al divrei atzma, or a Navi who's over on his own Nevuah. Then misasa bidei shemayim, those three get misa bidei shemayim, as the Gemara is going to show in each case. In each case, we're going to have examples of it in Jewish history. Shenema, because the pasuk says by those anoichi ed, the person says, a person who doesn't listen to what the navi says, anoichi ed resh me'imai, Hashem says I will demand it from him. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is going to deal with the matter. Next, the Mishnah continues, Hamisnabe b'shem avodis kechavim, person says nevuah in the name of an idol, v'oimer, and he says, kach omer avodis kechavim, he says, the avodizora said such and such. So then he gets chenek, that's another case where he gets chenek, afilu kivin as halacha, even if what he said is correct up yalacha, latame as a tome, latare as a tohar. So what's really tome? He says it's tome. What's really tohar? He says it's tohar. Nevertheless, because he said in the name of Avodah Zarah, then he's chayiv misa. The Novi Sheker wasn't the last example of somebody who was chayiv chenek. The last one who was chayiv chenek is a Baal Eishas Ish. A man has relations with an eishes ish. What's the definition of eishes ish? For this purpose, kiven shenichnasa l'rishus habal nisuin. Once she comes into the husband's rishus for nisuin, meaning, in other words, you can have, even as the Gemara talks about in other places, that her father sends shluchim with her to take her to the chassan's house. As long as those shluchim with her, she hasn't are with her, she hasn't yet left the rishus of her father. Only once they leave and she comes to her husband's rishus or to the rishus of her husband's shluchim, at that point she's considered a nesua. So afa pishalei nivala, even though she hasn't had relations yet, then anybody who has relations with her is going to be getting chenek. Meaning, up until that point, if she's a naira and she's moirosa, then there's not going to be chenek. There's going to be skila. And if she's a bas koyin, then we had the different opinions earlier in the Masechta, whether there's going to be sreifa. But now when she's a nesua and she's a bas yisrael, and nesua for this purpose is defined as that she's in the shorts of the husband, then it goes down to chenek. So the Mishnah now the Mishnah continues. The same way, also the edim zoymimin against a bas koyin and the boil. So now edim come to Beis Din testifying that a bas koyin was in a case where she would be chayiv sreifa if the edus is true, and her boil are chayiv misa. Now the din is, as the Gemara is going to explain, that only she's chayiv sreifa. The boil is actually getting chenek. So now, when they turn out to be Edim Zomim, they don't get the punishment that they were planning for her, they get the punishment that they're planning for him, as the Gemara is going to explain, on Daf Tzadik, based on Psukim. So that's another example. So the Eishes Ish herself, as well as the Boil, as well as the unique case where the Eishes Ish and the Boil are getting different punishments, then the Edim Zomim are going to get his punishment. The rule is shekol hamuzamin makdimin la'osa misa. Any edim who were found to be edim zomim are makdimin to the death that they were going to get the person. Makdimin either means means that they're going to get punished because of asisim lekasha zomam. Makdimin can mean like they wake up early for it because like that's it. They're not getting out of this, so they may as well go and they may as well wake up early and get it over with. Anyway, so they go ahead and they get that misa, chutz mizomim bebas koyin or boyola, with the exception of the edim zomim against the bas koyin and her boil, whereas the Gemara is going to work out on Daf Tzadik that in that case they don't get the punishment that was meant for her, but rather the punishment that was meant for him, namely chenek. So now we've finished all the list of people who are chayiv chenek. So now let's go and analyze the Mishnah. We talked about the various kinds of false neviim. Tanan abanan, shloisha misasin b'nei adam, or shloisha misasin b'nei shemayim. When it comes to false neviim, there are three types who get misa b'nei adam, chenek, as we were saying, and three of them that are punished b'nei shemayim. The first group is hamisnabe mashalei shama. A navi says a nevuah that he himself did not hear, umashalei nemaloi, or a nevuah that is true but was not said to him. Vamisnabe b'shem avodas kochavim, and he says nevuah in the name of idols. So all those three, as we said in the Mishnah, misasim de shemayim, all of misasim de adam, all of them are executed by Beis Din. As opposed to a koivash as nevuase, somebody who conceals and doesn't tell over is nevuah. Vamavato al divrei navi. Or he ignores and violates what a Navi said, the Navi Sha'ava al Divrei Atzmai, or a Navi who violated his own Nevuah, all those, Misasim Nidei Shemayim, all of those are killed by Hashem, and Beis Din doesn't deal with them. So, Menahani Mili, where do we know all this from? Omer of Yehuda Amakra, the Amakra. The Pasuk says like this, in Parashas Shoftim, you have Moshe is telling us in Hashem's name, don't do the various kinds of magic, and you're going to say, well, how are we going to know the future? So Hashem, so Moshe tells them you're going to have Nevi'im, Navi Okim Lahem, and you'll listen to what he says. Elof Tishmon, and then he goes on to say like this, the whole passage goes like this. Achan Novi, however, the Novi Yashid Yozid Ladaber Dover Bishmi, who deliberately goes and says something not in that's not truly in my name that I didn't actually tell him. Who speaks in the name of other gods, or Mes Hanovi Yahu, then that Novi will die. So Achan Novi Yashid Yozid Ladaber Dover Bishmi. The first words of the pasuk are referring to a Novi who said a Navur that he never heard. So a false nevuah that he just made up. When the pasuk continues that I didn't command him, that means I didn't command him. But I commanded another navi, and he went and told it over in his own name. So therefore, that makes him also chayiv chenek. When the pasuk continues, "V'asher yidaber b'shem alekim acherim," he speaks in the name of Getchkes, Zamis Nami, b'shem avodes kochavim, uchtiv. Now the pasuk continues, "Umeis hanavi yahu," that navi shall die, meaning it's a mitzvah to base him to execute him. And since it doesn't specify the punishment, then we have the usual rule, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta of Chol Misa Amur about Torah Stam, ein ela chenek. Whenever the Torah says misa without specifying means chenek, so that's how we know that those three get chenek. Next. We said a person conceals his nevuah, or he ignores the words of a navi. Or he violates his, and ignores his own nevuah. In those three, we said misasim v'deshamayim. Those three misasim v'deshamayim. So what does that mean? Where do we know that from? Because the pasuk also says the pasuk says like this. The previous pasuk says v'hoya ha'isha shele yishmal dvarai, a person who doesn't listen to my words. Asher yidabe b'shmi, that the navi will speak in my name. Anochi ed b'shmi imay, Hashem says I will demand it from him. From which we learn like this. So first of all. So a person who doesn't listen, that means he disobeys the Navi. Now we can also read the word lo yishma as if it said lo yashmia, he will not cause it to be heard. So therefore that tells us
red one. Okay. No.
Okay. So that tells us a case of a Navi who does not make heard his own nevuah. He doesn't tell over his own nevuah. Is also included in that word yishma, because again we darshan yishma as though it said yashmiya. And then when it says so that covers all these three cases: a person who disobeys a navi, whether the navi is himself or somebody else, and the navi himself who doesn't say over his nevuah. Uchtiv anochi edresh meimai, and Hashem is saying I will demand it from him. So therefore that covers all three of these cases that we said. So let's give examples of it from Tanakh. The Gemara says, "What's an example of a navi who says in nevuah that he didn't actually hear from Hashem?" So an example would be Tzidkia ben Knana. And Tzidkia ben Knana, the story with him is in Melachim and in Divrei Hayamim. The Gemara is going to darshan psukim of it later. The Gemara is going to go on to darshan some psukim of it. What happened was Achav and Yehoshaphat are going to go to war against Aram. Yehoshaphat says, we need to hear from a Navi. So 400 Nevi'im gather together, and they're all saying the Nevuah that Hashem said, go and you'll fight Aram and you're going to beat them. But Yehoshaphat realizes something is wrong over here, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain. And he says, isn't there a real Navi around here? And they bring Michoyu, they bring Michoyu ben Yimla, and he says that actually I've seen Nevuah that Achav is going to be killed in this battle. But now, so the Pasuk says,
but the Yidden still going to win the war, or
in the end, the Yidden, no, they, I mean, Acha was killed. Nobody else was killed. He was like a kapara for everybody else, but no, they lost the war. So what happened? The pasuk says that Vayasle Tzidkiyam and Knana Karnei Barzel, this Tzidkiyam and Knana made himself, who was the leader of the 400 Nevi'im, made for himself iron horns. And he says, this is a simon from Hashem, that Hashem says, like, you'll use these iron horns to gore and to defeat Aram. Now, this was a false nevuah. Now, an interesting point is the Mephoshim on the Pasuk pretty much all take it for granted that these 400 Nevi'im were Pashut false Nevi'im, as in Nevi'i Baal or something. And that's why Yehoshaphat says, I don't want Nevi'i Baal, I want a Navi in Hashem's name. Our Gemara is assuming that they were really true Nevi'im. However, in this case, they got a wrong Nevuah. In this case, as the Gemara is going to explain, they got a wrong Nevuah.
Wow.
So what happened over here? So the Gemara says, "My havelei lemeben." So how is it Tzidkiyah and Kenana's fault? How could he do? Ruach novis atite. The spirit of novice misled him. Dichtiv, you have like this. In Michoy, who is Nevuah, when he's telling Achav that you're going to die in this battle, he says, I saw what was going on in the Beis Din Shamayla. Hashem is sitting over there, and Malachim are alternately accusing and defending you, Achav. And then Vayomer Hashem says, Mi yifateh es Achav, who is going to convince and mislead Achav, V'yal v'yipo b'Romes Gilad, that he will go up to war in Romes Gilad and he will fall in battle. Vayetze haruach, a spirit came out, Vayamad lifnei Hashem, and stood before Hashem, Vayomer ani Afatenu, and says, I will mislead him. Namely, Hashem says, how are you going to do that? So the spirit says, I will cause all of his Nevi'im to be saying a false Nevuah. I will make them think that what they had was a true Nevuah. Vayomer, Hashem says, Tefata v'gam tuchal, yes, you'll convince them and you'll be successful. Tseva asechein, go out and do that.
Uh-huh.
So before we get back to the answer, how could Sidki and Knana have avoided that issue? But first, Omer Rabbi Yehuda might say, what does Hashem mean when he says go out? If he's going to have to speak to the Nevi'im, obviously he has to go out. It means tseimim chitzasi. Hashem is saying go out of my inner area, because if you're going to be lying, doivashkodim la yukim the neged enai, a liar doesn't belong in the presence of Hashem.
Well, he's saying Hashem's name.
But that's the point, isn't it? In other words, Hashem is telling Novos, look, until now, you had the schus to be in my close place because you were a tzaddik and you were unjustly killed by Achav, but now you want your revenge on Achav, and therefore you're going to be the medium by whom his Nevi'im are going to be misled, and he's going to end up going to battle. Fine, but now you lose your place, you lose your closeness to me as a result of that because you want to lie.
He's still willing to do it.
Apparently, he was still willing to do it. Later on, in Perek Chelek, in the next Perek, we're going to learn more about the story again. And the Gemara is going to point out over there that, yeah, it's like sometimes a person wants to take revenge on somebody else and he doesn't even care that his own house is getting destroyed in the process. Apparently, yeah, I guess it means that even after a Misa, a person has a certain degree of
Bechir. The way he accepted the din when Namata, he was still
maybe
evil Klav Ishmael.
Could be. I don't know.
Because here he's Rukhris, so he's not a guy.
I know. So,
that's Hashem.
That's the thing. So Hashem gives. So that's actually, Marashar explains like this. When Novos said, I'm gonna go talk him into it, so Hashem, as far as Hashem is concerned, Novos could still use a true method to do it. He could use a true argument to convince Achav that it's a good idea to go there. He could convince him, for example, look what a great mitzvah you're going to be doing by saving a Jewish city, et cetera, et cetera. And that wouldn't be such a problem. But now Novos is proposing to do it using a lie, that I'm going to tell the Nevi'im that they should say a false nevuah. So Hashem says, in that case, say, get out of here. Yeah. So my ruach. Why? Who is this ruach? Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Zuruch Hashem means Ruach Hashem Novos Israeli, the spirit of Novos who had been unjustly executed by Achav's orders. So now, and therefore now, he wants his revenge on Achav. Right? Marsha points out the fact that it says Hor ruach suggests that it's a ruach that we already know of from before, namely Novos.
And the question is, like, how did this other king realize that these guys are fake?
Ah, so that's part of the question. Yeah, yeah. So now the question is that Sidkiyah ben Knana, we're saying again, all Gemara is assuming that he and his fellow Nevi'im are true Nevi'im, and normally they get Nevuah from Hashem. All of a sudden they have Novos whispering into their ear and telling them the Nevuah. How do they know that it's not, how do they know, how should they know that it's false, such that they should be Chayav Misa for it? The answer is, Havalei l'meidach kidin Rabbi Yitzchak. Sidkia, being an experienced Navi, he should have realized that it's a false Nevuah based on what Rabbi Yitzchak says. Rabbi Yitzchak obviously lived hundreds of years later, but we mean this is something the Kabbalah that they had from long before. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Signun Echad Oilel Kama Nevi'im. Many Nevi'im will have that the Ruach HaKodesh speaks to them in the same form. Signun means a style. The Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabden Misignun Echad, but true Nevi'im never say exactly the same words. Even though saying the same message from Hashem, each one of them is filtered through his own brain and through his own connection with the Eibishter and everything, and therefore it comes out in different words. For example, Evadia Amar, for example, the Novi Evadia says in Nevuah about Edom, he says, Zedoin Libcha, the deliberateness of your heart, the fact that you figure you can defy Hashem with impunity, Hishiacha has convinced you that you can do whatever you want and you're going to get away with it. The Yumia says pretty much the same Nevuah, but he uses a different expression, Tiflatstacha, your monstrosity, your monstrous Averis, Hishi Oischa has raised you, has convinced you, Zedoin Libcha, the deliberateness of your heart. So they're both saying the same thing. In other words, you're so great and powerful that you think you can do whatever you want, but they're saying it in different words, because each one, as the Rambam explains, each other Navi, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, was not told the actual words by Hashem. He's shown a vision, and he deduces from it what Hashem wants, what Hashem wants him to say. So now, therefore, each one expresses it in different words, even when they're both expressing the same point.
Could you tell me the source of the word tiflatzacha?
The shortest tiflatzacha is a tifletzes means like something big and important and even monstrous. So it means your greatness. That means your greatness. Tiflatzacha, your greatness. He the Perish Polak, I mean, yeah. It means Hishi has convinced you, Zedon Libacha, the deliberateness of your heart. You think you can do whatever you want. Now, Vahani, in the case of Tzidkiyah ben Knana and the 400 Nevi'im with him, they were saying the exact Loshen. They were all saying, Alei v'yitin Hashem b'yad ha-melech. Umid ka'amri kula ba'adodi, since they're all saying the exact same Loshen, Shmamin aloi klum ka'amri, then Tzidkiyah, as an experienced Navi, should have realized that this can't possibly be a true Nevuah. And that is, in fact, why Yehoshaphat, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that's how Yehoshaphat realized something's wrong over here. So the Gemara asks, "Dilmalai have a yodel lehod Rabbi Yitzchak?" Maybe Tzidkia doesn't know the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. How can you call him a false nevuah and blame him and say he's chayev chenek because of that?
Tzidkia was the king and Shafat.
Tzidkia wasn't the king. Tzidkia was a navi. Achav and Yehoshaphat were the kings. Achav of the Esar Sashvatim, Yehoshaphat of Yehuda.
So that's the point.
The answer is exactly that. Yehoshaphat have a hossam. Yehoshaphat was there, who was a tzaddik. He was the king of Yehuda. V'ka'amalahu, and he tells them this rule, dichtiv, because after these false Nevi'im say their thing, alei v'yitin Hashem b'yad ha-melech, v'yoyma Yehoshaphat, the pasuk says, Yehoshaphat says, ha'ein poi navi oid la'Hashem, isn't there any navi of Hashem that we should ask him?
He didn't say
there's
no true
Navi. One second. The Gemara explains. Omalei. So Achav is saying, what do you mean? Is there any Navi? Actually, the Pasuk doesn't actually say Oid Lashem. The actual Pasuk, the Lashem Oid. Isn't there any other Navi? If there's a true Navi over here, Yehoshaphat doesn't need to ask. What do you need to ask one Navi after another? Once you have one true Navi, that's enough. The fact that he's asking, isn't there any true Navi of Hashem anymore, implies, in other words, all the other Nevi'im are false Nevi'im. So therefore, I need a true Navi to tell us. So that means, in other words, Amalei, Achav is saying, what do you mean? You need another Navi. Hoiko Kohani, you have 400 Nevi'im over here. Amalei, so Yehoshaphat explains, Kach mekublani mibeis Aviyaba. I have the Kabbalah from my ancestors, from going back to David HaMelech, what we just said, Signun Echad, Oilol Kama Nevi'im, Vein Shnei Nevi'im, Misnamim, Misignun Echad. So therefore, I recognize, therefore, that these 400 Nevi'im are not actually saying a true Nevuah. Now, the point is, though, that now, Tzidkiah and his fellow Nevi'im were saying this before Yehoshaphat spoke up, because obviously Yehoshaphat realized from what they were saying. But once Yehoshaphat spoke up, so in other words, now we could say up until now, Tzidkiah ben Kenana could be shoyging. He didn't know this point, so he thought what he's having is a true Nevuah. But now when Yehoshaphat explains to them this detail, that in Shnei Nevi'im, Misnamim, Misignun Echad, then that should have clued in Tzidkiyahu that, you know what, it's true then, we've been saying a false Nevuah. I don't know how it happened, but we didn't realize they're being spoken to by novice. Michoy, who explains that to them afterwards, but still, I better stop saying Nevuah. He doesn't. They continue saying their nevuah, and he even made his iron horns, as the pasuk goes on to say. At that point, now he's doing it b'mezid, and therefore he's a navi sheker. Yeah.
Only he had of all the nevuim was chayav misa.
No, Pashtus, all the other ones are as well, but he's the one that was singling him out because he was like the ringleader of them, and he was the one. The pasuk says he was making himself iron horns. Many times we find that nevuim, true nevuim, were told to do a certain symbolic misa, and that strengthens their nevuah. It makes it that it's more certainly going to happen. So he actually did that. He made himself these iron horns and said this is going to be a simon because he genuinely thought this was a true nevuah. But again, once the Yehoshaphat told him this rule, he should have realized that it's not. Okay. What is an example of somebody who says a true nevuah, but it wasn't actually said to him?
I understand. So, he said a different signal. He said, "Ve'ele tenagach tzaram." All of the other nevi'im didn't say that expression.
But he's also saying, "Alei v'yitin Hashem b'yad ha-melech." That part is the same signal. So what's an example of Misnabim Ashal and Nemeloi? Kigun Hananya ben Azur. So an example would be Hananya ben Azur, who lived in the time of Yirmiyahu. Now, he was a false Navi, but again, originally the Gemara is saying he was a true Navi. What happened was, Dekoi Yirmiya b'shuka elyon v'kama. Yirmiya was standing in the upper marketplace of Yerushalayim, and he was announcing the following Nevuah. Koyer Hashem Tzvokas, hinini shover es keshes Elam. I'm going to break the bow of Elam. Elam is an area nowadays, it's part of Iran. It was one of Nebuchadnezzar's allies. So Hashem is saying, I'm going to break their bow, meaning I'm going to break their power. And the reason is because they were allies of Nebuchadnezzar. They helped to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. This is a few years before the Churban, but Yirmiyahu is saying this Nevuah that Hashem in the future will break their power. Now, Nosa Hananya Kavachomer ba'atzmai. Hananya made a Kavachomer out of it. Ma Elam shleib bar el Lazarus Bavel. Ma doch Elam, they only came as allies to help Bavel. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu hinini shover es keshes Elam. Castium, the Bavliim themselves, Atzman, they themselves, who were even worse to the Jewish people. Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so that Hashem will punish them. But Osa Ihu, so now he came, Bashuka Tachten. He went to the lower marketplace of Yerushalayim. V'Omer, and he announces in Nevor, Koyem Hashem v'gemer shavati es Omer. Hashem says, I've broken the power of the king of Babel, and that all the Jews who have so far been taken into Golos, and all the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash that have so far been taken into Golos, are going to be returned. So now this is Misnam Mashal Shama, because the Nevuah was given to Yirmiyah, not to him. Hashem never told that Nevuah to Yirmiyah either. Hashem told him the Nevuah that Elam is going to be destroyed, not Babel. The answer is Omalei. So Rabbi answers him. Kivin de isi of kavachomer le midrash. Since it is a valid kavachomer that could be darshin, command to itmar le domi. It is considered as though he said it to Yumiya. So now the who knew the Namalai, but Hananiah, it wasn't said to him, so he shouldn't have. He was like a plagiarist. In fact, there's a possibility he's a plagiarist, like somebody who steals, like when a person takes somebody else's writing and passes it off as his own. He was passing this off as his own nevuah. In fact, there's a possibility in Yumiya where Hashem criticizes the Nevi'im, the Ganve Dvora, Ishma Esrehu, who steal my words one from another. And the Medrash says that's referring to Hanani ben Azra over here, who stole what would have been had Yumiya said it would have been a true nevuah, but he didn't. So that's an example of Misnama Mashalei Shama.
How would that play?
Because he took a nevuah that belonged to Yumi and he passed it off as his own. So he made a kavachomer, which was a perfectly valid kavachomer to make. And if Yumi had made that kavachomer, it would have been correct for Yumi to say, Koyamar Hashem, then Hashem says, I'm breaking the power of the king of Babel. But because Yumi did not do that, and it was his nevuah to make the kavachomer from, then Hanani has no right to take over that nevuah and make a kavachomer.
Did it actually happen, Taro?
No, it didn't. In fact, Yumi confronts Hanani and explains to him, you're a Navi Sheker, and in fact, you're going to die this year. The Yerushalmi over here, actually, on this Mishnah, goes through a lot of other interesting details of that story. One interesting point is Hananiah says that in 2 years, this is going to happen. Now, where does he get the 2 years from? That's not part of Yirmiyah's Nevuah. So the Yerushalmi explains, he held that, like this, Yirmiyah had previously said Nevuahs that Bavel's power is going to last for 70 years. Now, we have those various calculations of when the 70 years begin and end, from when Nebuchadnezzar first conquered Eretz Yisrael, or from when he took Yechonia and that Golos, or from the Churban, whatever, that's the Gemara mentions in Megillah. That's why, for example, when Ahasuerus made his party, that was one calculation of the 70 years was over, and he thought the Geula hadn't happened yet. Anyway, this Hananiah took the view, says the Yerushalmi, that it counts all the way back from the time of Menashe, Melech Yehuda, when Hashem had first decided that Bavel is going to become a world power. Well, 68 years have passed so far, 2 years to go. Therefore, he claimed that it's 2 years. Okay.
What was Elam?
Elam is a country. Nowadays, it's part of Iran. It's part of Iran nowadays, like southern Iran. It's the area, Shushan is its capital, let's put it that way. Yeah.
So why would the helpers get punished, but the actual guy doers don't get punished?
So that they did eventually. Yumi himself says long nevuahs at the end of his sefer of how Bavel will be punished, but not yet because this was still several years before the Churban. Bavel still has a role to play, and Hashem wasn't saying necessarily that Yumi wasn't saying his nevuah with Elam that they're going to be punished immediately.
Oh,
just okay. Next. What's Hamavatar al Divrei Novi? What's an example? Sorry, Akovish as Nevuah. So,
think about what happened to these two people who said the VA.
Well, Hanani ben Azur, Yumiya confronts him and tells him you're a Novi Sheker, and eventually the Pasuk says he died shortly after that. It doesn't say he did Chovad.
How about the one in the
Hanani ben Azur, Tzidki ben Kanana, doesn't say one way or the other.
Can he do Chuva if he would die?
He could do Chuva. Chuva Hashem will always accept. But in this particular case with Hanani ben Azur, not only did he not do Chuva, the Yerushalmi actually brings over here that he actually attempted to make people think that Yumiya's Nevuah about him was false. Yumiya told him, because you've spoken falsely in Nevuah in Hashem's name, therefore you're going to die Hashana Atames. You're going to die this year. Now the Pasuk says he died B'Chodesh HaShvi. Now Chodesh HaShvi is Tishrei. That's already next year. So how does the Nevuah, what happened to Yirmiyah's Nevuah? The Yerushalmi explains, it actually brings it on the Pesukim. Hananiah died before Rosh Hashanah, which was in fact this year. But he told his family, don't bury me and don't announce it until after Rosh Hashanah. That way everybody will think that Yirmiyah is a false Navi.
Azoivait,
yeah. Okay. Okay, next.
What was this prophecy that Elam is going to fall?
That was
Bavel?
That was before Golos Bavel. This is after Golos Yechonia, but before Golos, before the Churban.
Saying that Elam meaning Paras?
Yeah, it's going to be just, yeah. He didn't show it as Kashas Elam. So
helpers got punished before
he
that.
He says that, no. So in the end, it doesn't say when Elam actually got destroyed.
Was Elam the power then?
They were a power. They were helpers of Bavel. Uh-huh. They were allies of Bavel at that point.
It was
Kamos. Okay. Onward. Kachavim. We said in the Mishnah, somebody who says Nevuah in the name of Avodah Zarah could go Nevi Abal. So a simple example, you have the Nevi Abal, for example, that Eliyahu HaNavi went up against. Next, HaKovash as Nevuah. So what's an example of somebody who conceals his Nevuah? Could go Yonah ben Amittai. An example of that would be Yonah, where Hashem tells him to go say Nevuah to Nineveh, and instead he goes and runs off to the ship over there. Which, in fact, by the way, Mephoshim point out, based on Og Gemara, he should have been Chayim Misa B'Dei Shemayim, but the fact is he didn't. So the answer is that, first of all, the Eibishter put him all through all those Yisurim, being thrown into the water and swallowed by the fish, etc., and then the Kikoyan and all that. But more to the point is, because Yonah had, the Medrash says that Yonah was looking out for the honor of the Jewish people. He didn't want, he knew, the Yerushalmi mentions it over here also, he knew that the people of Nineveh are very likely to do tshuva, and therefore that therefore Hashem is going to overturn the Gzeira. Now it's going to make the Yidden look really bad that that Hashem, Nevi'im, have been coming to them all the time and telling them to do tshuva, and they haven't been listening, so therefore, so the Eibishter took that into consideration to not be mechayiv in misa, but instead to give him yisurim. Okay, next, Ramavata al divrei navi. What's an example of somebody who disobeys a navi? An example would be the colleague of Micha. This Micha is the same Michoyu ben Yimla that I mentioned before. No, not a troublemaker. No, not Micha as in Micha, as in Pesel Micha. Okay. There's a number of figures in Tanakh who are named Micha or Michoyu. Okay. Here we're talking about the true Navi Michoyu ben Yimla I mentioned before in the story with Achav and Yoshafat and the 400 false Nevi'im. Michoyu ben Yimla was the one true Navi who came there and said a true Nevuah that Achav was going to be killed in battle, and he's the one who said how the Beis Din Shamayla was judging you, etc. Now, earlier in that,
he saw, he was so high in life, he was able to see that happen.
So now that's in Melachim Aleph Perek Chaf Beis. Earlier in Melachim Aleph Perek Chaf, you have an earlier battle that Achav was fighting against Aram. Now, a Navi had come to Achav, and the Medrash brings that Navi was none other than the same Michoyu, also known as Micha. He had come to Achav and told him, you're going to win this battle. You're even going to capture Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. Do not let him go alive. Kill him. In the event when Achav won the battle and Ben-Hadad surrendered to him, he not only left him alive, he restored him to his kingship, and they made a peace treaty and everything. So now Michoyhu comes, and now Michoyhu goes over to another person. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "V'ish echad mibnei Anavim," one person from the Bnei Anavim, which is Michoyhu. Omer Orei, the Gemara calls Micha, which is a short form of the name. Omer Orei, he says to another person, "Bidvar Hashem, by the word of Hashem, hakeni na, hit me and wound me." And the person refused to do that. How can I hit a fellow Yid? The point is that the Michoyu wanted to do that. He then eventually, the pasuk says, he went to another person who did it. The point is that he pretended to be a wounded soldier, and he goes over to Achav and says, I have a problem. During the battle, I was told to guard a certain enemy soldier, and by accident, I let him get away. Now what? He tells him, yeah, you're in trouble. So Michoyu then takes off, he wore a scarf over his face, so Achav wouldn't recognize him. Now he takes off the scarf, and he says, you know what, you just said on yourself then, the same way Hashem put that enemy soldier, Ben-Hadad, in your hands, and you let him go, you're going to suffer for it.
Oh, he's told him. He didn't do anything, he just told him that.
Right, but so the point is, therefore, so by the way, that's why later on in Perek Chav Beis, when
he be looking wounded?
Because he had to look like a soldier who had been in the battle. But so that was all part of his disguise. But the point is that later on, by the way, in Perek Chav Beis, in the last battle, where with the 400 Nevi'im, when they call for Michoyhu, so Achav says, yeah, there is one true Navi, Michoyhu ben Yimla, but I don't like him because he always says bad Nevuos about me. He's referring back to this. Anyway, so
but the first warning told him that you, when you catch him, you should
kill him.
So he was up to go to him. So why couldn't you go to him afterwards?
What do you mean? Because in order to tell him a harsh nevuah like that, he needed Achav to be able to say himself, you know what, a person who lets an enemy soldier go is guilty and then deserves to be punished. So now Michal, you can tell him, you know what, you've said on yourself, then din v'cheshbin, you've said the din on yourself, and now the Eibishter is going to do the cheshbin to you. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so the pasuk says, so he says to somebody, hit me, v'yimoyna ishla hakoise, but the person refused to hit him. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, v'yimoloi, Michal tells him, yana shalosh shemayit evagomer, because you haven't listened to the words of Hashem, therefore you're going to be punished. And sure enough, the guy is killed by a lion. So
that,
we see
that hit him, the guy who didn't hit him.
The guy who didn't hit him, so he disobeyed the Navi. Michoyu told him, in the name of Hashem, Bidvar Hashem, I can't know. And the guy disobeyed, so for that he's Chayv Misa V'Dei Shemayim, and for that he was killed by a lion.
Shaul had no problem by getting punished.
What?
Hashem. Shaul, who didn't listen, but the killed
Shaul people. Didn't listen, and he left up alive people from Amalek. Right, he lost his kingship.
But why does Achav have to be told himself he has to agree to his own punishment?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because Achav is a Rosha, so there. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Fear.
What's an example of a Navi Sha'over al Divrei Atzmei? What's an example of a Navi? What's an example of a Navi who disobeys his own Nevuah? It's going Idoy HaNavi. For that, we have another story in Sefer Melachim. Earlier, you have Yeravam ben Nevat that set up his Egle HaZahav and is getting the people into Avodah Zarah. So Hashem sends a Navi. The Pasuk doesn't identify him by name, but Chazal tell us it was Idoy. He's sent on a message to He has to show. He has to show Yerovam a nest that he's his hand is gonna that he not a nest. He tells him that hundreds of years from now there's gonna be a king who's gonna destroy this Mizbeach and burn the bodies and the corpses and the skeletons of all the people who worship this Avodah Zarah are gonna be burnt on this Mizbeach. So this way, maybe such a harsh nevuah will get Yerovam to do tshuva. Anyway, b'kitzer, Hashem then Yerovam invites him to his palace. Come, I'll give you some food, etc. And the Navi tells him, no, Hashem told me I'm not allowed to eat or drink anything in this place. Then what happens is there's an old Navi, a false Navi, living in this town. He hears what happened. He wants to invite the Navi, the true Navi, in for a meal. So he goes to meet him and he says, you know, I want to invite you in. And the true Navi says, Ido, he says, I can't. Hashem told me not to. And the false Navi told him, no, I'm also a Navi. And Hashem told me differently. Hashem told me that you should eat in my house. And Ido listens to him and goes and eats in his house. So now he was over on his own nevuah. So Dichtiv, Kichain Siva Oisi, first he had told Yeravam and the other fellow that Hashem commanded me not to eat here. But Uchtiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayomele Gamani Novi Kamoicha, I'm also a Novi just like you. Uchtiv, and the Pasuk says that Idoi bore his story. Vayeshev Idoi, he sat with him and they ate. Uchtiv, and then the Pasuk says, Vayelech Vayimseu Aye, that Idoi left and then a lion encountered him and killed him. So again, he was Chayim Nisibide Shemayim. And Hashem brought it about because he was over on his own nevuah, and therefore he was killed by a lion.
And the other one was that,
the other one actually got the other one was a false navi to begin with. He's a false navi. He gets punishment.
Why did he do it? Because he wanted to sit around a navi, which is
no. He funny. Thought because he was mistaken. He thought that he thought the other guy was saying a true nevuah.
Why did the other guy look for it?
I don't know. He wanted to be machnas orach. I don't know.
Because then he wants him to get punished.
The truth, maybe not necessarily. I don't know. The truth is, the Malbim on the Psukim over there has an interesting explanation of it. He says that Idoi thought to himself the loshen that this person is using, and what he's going to do is not strictly speaking being over on his nevuah. Like he's trying to finagle within his nevuah over there. But the Ebishter tells him, no, nothing doing. You were over, and yeah.
He was over
by disobeying his own nevuah. He himself had been told by Hashem not to eat in this place, and he went and ate in this place.
Right, but it wasn't by one place, but by
no, yeah, it was same city. Okay. So
you get confused. A good navi, a bad navi.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says,
I'm sorry. Right. Who was the one that don't? Okay, I don't know, whose blood was cooking for years?
Was cooking for you?
Yeah, they killed him in the basement.
Oh, he's a Chayi Ben Yehoyada. Yeah, he was a true Navi. Okay. He was a true Navi.
No. I thought it was Michal.
No. Okay. Tony Tana Kamed Rav Chista. A Tana taught a braisa in front of Rav Chista. Hakoyvish as nevuah se loike. When a person hides his nevuah and doesn't tell it, he's going to get malchus. Tosfos explains, actually, it's not that he's over on a lav. What it's a lav shein me'maisa anyway. It's malchus in the sense of makin osad to chetan nafshei. They know he has a mitzvah to do. He's refusing to do the mitzvah. Therefore, Beistin can beat him to force him to do the mitzvah. Omalei, so Rav Chista says, man de'ochel tamri ba'arbel aloki. What is that? That would be like saying that if a person eats dates out of a plate, or arbal actually means like a sieve, he should get malchus. In other words, the question is, there's no aveira in it. Here, in order to get malchus, you need hasura. Man masri be, who's supposed to give him hasura? How would anybody know that he had a nevuah that now he's hiding? The answer is, Oman Abai chavre nevi oi, chavre nevi. His other fellow neviim know that he's been given nevuah. So the Gemara says, Men no yadi, how do they know? Amar Abaye Dichtiv, because the pasuk says Ki lo yase Hashem alekim dover, Hashem will never do something Ki im golos soide, unless He reveals a secret El avod of hanaviim. So therefore, when Hashem speaks to one navi, then all the neviim know about it. So it's almost like they have like a radio station or a WhatsApp group or whatever. Yeah, that everybody is subscribed to, and therefore everybody knows that a message was sent.
But here, on the story before, it was only one navi who realized that.
No. Wait. So they go, no, other neviim would have realized it as well. They just weren't around. Elio, for example, would have realized it just wasn't around. Tzidkim and Knana, no, they were being misled by it. They were being misled by Ruach Hashem Novi. So therefore,
the one navi saw that up there. They were having
Divrei
Cheshbon.
With
Achav.
Yes, yeah, so
only one source.
No,
out of one.
The other Nevi'im, the other true Nevi'im of that time knew that that had happened, but they knew it's not their Nevuah to say, so they didn't come forward with it. Michoyu, it's his Nevuah to say, and again, they don't want to be taking a Nevuah from somebody else.
Oh, it was actually Nevuah that he was told.
He was told, yeah.
But Hashem wanted he should be able to take a revenge.
But nevertheless, he still wanted to give Achav a chance to do Truva.
By telling him that
okay, let's go on. We'll talk after. So the Gemara asks, "V'duma hadri be?" Okay, but maybe min hashemayim it was changed. After all, nevuah for bad can be changed. So maybe he's hiding his nevuah because it was meant for him not to tell after all. And the answer is exactly. If Hashem had changed, so to speak, changed his mind and decided the Nevuah shouldn't come true, oh, do I have a modu, we'll call the Nevi, then all the Nevi'im would have been informed. Like again, with WhatsApp, when a message is deleted, everybody knows it's deleted, yeah. So the Gemara asks, what about Yonah though? Hashem did take back the Nevuah. Hashem did not destroy Nineveh after all. And Yonah himself was never informed, which is why he's sitting over there under the Kikoyan, expecting that any day now the city is going to be destroyed. And he's very disappointed. Why not? The answer is Yonah meikra Nineveh ne pechas amri. The answer is Yonah was to begin with was told that Nineveh will be overturned. He didn't know, does that mean overturned for bad as they're going to be destroyed, or overturned as in they're going to do tshuva and turn over a completely new leaf? So he didn't understand the Nevuah properly, and therefore he thought it's only l'ra, and it turns out that it's l'tova. So the Nevuah did come true, and there was no retraction min hashamayim. So actually, Maharal Shaul says it's not so much that Yonah made a mistake, it's that Yonah didn't know that Yonah had a suffix, rather. Does it mean Latova or Lara? And now at the end, Hashem explains to him that I meant Latova. So the Gemara says, Hamavatar al Divri Navi. Now let's go back to, we said that when a person disobeys a true Nevuah of a Navi, the question is, Mino Yoda di'ianish. How is he supposed to know that this is a true Nevuah, that he should be punished for disobeying it? And in other words, the point is, anybody could come and say Koyamar Hashem and do such and such, and he's disobeying. He doesn't know whether to obey or not. So how does he know? The answer is Diav Le'Ois. The Navi gives him a sign. The Navi gives him a sign that he's a true Navi. So the Gemara asks, "V'ham Micha D'lo Yohiv Le'Ois?" What do you mean, Micha? By that story before, when he tells the person, "Hit me," and wound me. He didn't give him an Ois. V'Ienesh, and the other person was punished for failing to hit him. The answer is Heichd Muchsak Shiny. It's different. Way was already a Navi who has a Chazaka being Navi. Micha was already a Navi for years before that. Everybody knew that he's a true Navi. So now when he goes over to this guy and says, Bidvar Hashem Akenina, then you know that what he's saying is true and you have to listen to whatever he says. As opposed to if it was.
Ido wasn't a Muchsak.
Oh, there was also a Muchsak. But there the Gemara was bringing it as a different example where he was over on his own Navua.
Why wasn't he warned?
Who was Ido? Because he's already a true Navi. He should know not to violate his own Nevuah.
Isn't that a funny? You tell a person, hit me, you wound me.
When it's a true Navi, you have to listen to him. So the Gemara says, "De Eloi Tema Hochi." And after all, you can prove that, because if that's not so, that when a person is not a known Navi, he would still need to give an ois before you can listen to him. Consider Avram Bahara Maria, Heichi Shama Le Yitzchok. How could a Yitzchok listen to Avram Bahara Maria that he should be brought as a korban? And when Eliyahu is going to bring a korban on Har HaKarmel, how can anybody listen to him when the Beis HaMikdash is already standing for over 100 years and they're going to shecht a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash? Obviously, it's different when there's Chazaka, where therefore we can rely on what the Navi is saying, even though he didn't right now give an ois. And that's the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, a person who's known to be a true Navi. Another example that Rambam brings is where a previous true Navi has testified about him that he's a true Navi. Then we have to listen to whatever he says, Elof Tishmon, as the Pasuk says. But where he's starting out as a Navi, then yeah, he has to give an ois, and the ois has to come true, and only then are we required to listen to him. So now, having mentioned Avraham and Yitzchak, so now the Gemara goes into a little bit to talk about the Akedah. But I think at this point we'd probably maybe we should leave it for tomorrow.
No.
Just a second.
If Ido was